Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Apple's recent decision discontinuing support for iPhone web apps, more commonly known as PWAs, in the European Union has sparked potential investigation action from the European Commission, citing compliance with the EU's Digital Markets Act, which mandates support for third-party browser engines. Apple plans to downgrade web apps to functions similar to bookmarks in iOS 17.4. The company attributes this shift to basically developing a new integration architecture amid other DNA demands, low user engagement, and security concerns. However, developers and advocacy groups are challenging the move, with the Open Web Advocacy gathering data to assess the impact on developers and inform the European Commission evaluation. In my personal opinion, PWAs are critical to an open web, open mobile infrastructure. That and many, many more stories tonight. You're listening to Geek News Central, episode 1726, coming to this Monday, February 26th. I'm your host, Todd Cochran. A big shout out to our primary sponsor at GoDaddy.com, powering Geek News Central. Grab their deals at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And hey, to all our awesome listeners, you're the real MVPs. Contribute your time, talent, or treasure at geeknewscentral.com/insider by becoming a GNC insider. Pick up a modern podcast app from podcastapps.com. Join the value for value movement by downloading a modern podcast app. To all amazing listeners out there, a big virtual hug. Dive into the digital hub at geeknewscentral.com. Don't forget to check out our partner shows, all linked on the website. Get on board. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to via your favorite modern podcast app. Sign up for the newsletter while you're at it. And of course, you can join the chat room at geeknews.chat. If you have feedback, email me at geeknews@gmail.com or catch me on X at geeknews or just find me on Facebook. And a massive salute to GoDaddy, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast where we have great savings for you at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. We want to thank you for your ongoing support. We definitely appreciate every time you pick up a GoDaddy product or service. And you can do that today by picking up a new domain name for $11.99. Brand new domain name for $11.99 standalone. Or get a domain name for free when you pick up a $6.99 a month economy hosting plan. This, again, includes a free domain, professional email, and an SSL certificate for the first year. Or $12.99 a month, manage WordPress hosting. Again, get that free domain, professional email, and SSL certificate for the first year. Or a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. That's a one-month free trial. All these codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Grab yourself a deal. Get online, build yourself something that is going to be economy-proof, start a blog, start a podcast. Again, great options with that managed WordPress hosting. You plug in the PowerPress podcasting plugin with that, boom, you're up and running as a podcaster. Again, $6.99 a month economy hosting, $12.99 a month managed WordPress hosting, includes a free domain, professional email, and an SSL certificate. Your support of our sponsor allows us to do what we do and be able to continue to bring you great content on a regular basis, not only through the podcast, but as well on the website. We want to thank you again for your support of GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, everyone, hope you're doing well. Only one show this week. I'm flying on Friday. I'll be back in the studio Monday, and we will be lit and live once again from the studio. Barring any flight delays or anything like that. So hope you are all looking forward to me being back and again live in the studio. Definitely appreciate it. It's been a great month here on the road and bringing you the shows remote for sure. I tell you, this news out of the EU is really distressing, in my opinion. You know, I, as a company owner, we have a PWA for our stat system that our customers have become to rely on. They just basically click on the icon right within the iPhone or on a Android device, and boom, they're into our stats. They're able to review their podcast stats, and PWAs are much, much, much cheaper to deploy than a regular app in the approval process. And, you know, getting it added as an app is almost impossible from Apple, but at least our customers have the option to do that on their own. And this is a gatekeeper situation here with Apple. And this is not good. It really, really isn't. I just don't understand the company's stance on this. They blame the EU's Digital Market Act as the primary reason for the change, as it requires Apple to allow full support for third-party browser engines, not just Safari and WebKit. And introducing web app support for other browsers would require the company to build an entirely new integration architecture. So that's why they say they're dropping it. And this is not good. It's a very bad move by Apple. Now, here in the United States, I think we're still going to be okay. But again, the world is one's oyster, and them doing what they have done here is not good. It's just a sign of them not wanting to support progressive web apps. And I don't know. I'm torn here significantly from their action, and it just it shows that any chance they get to putting the screws on people, they do. And that's just kind of how I feel about it. I'm not going to change my opinion too much. Moving on, there's more images coming from Mars. This shows exactly what happened with the helicopter over there. And it basically shows one of the blades completely broken off. While there's not a significant amount of information on how it happened or why it happened, but definitely it was not good. So either the rotor came loose in the air, or they touched each other with a hard landing. It's hard to say what has happened here, because you can't see too much disturbance in the desert around the, you know, basically the final resting place of the helicopter, which is on its legs, by the way. So I don't know. Time will tell on this if they're able to figure anything more out. But some great images. A link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. The Supreme Court's going to hear arguments on the future of online speech. And in Moody versus NetChoice and NetChoice versus Paxton, the court will decide on whether the laws governing social media from Florida and Texas would violate the First Amendment by compelling the companies to host speech even when they don't want to. These laws were passed in 2021 after former President Donald Trump's ouster from mainstream platforms following the January 6th situation. They also resulted from long-held grievances from conservatives about what they view as social media censorship of their viewpoint. The justice will determine whether social media platforms are more akin to newspapers that have the freedom to execute editorial judgment, or like shopping malls that serve as gathering places for the public and can be made to host demonstrations. The outcome could impact not just big tech companies, but nonprofit efforts like Wikipedia and more traditional publishing companies. So these cases are submitted and argued, so we'll see what forth comes. Well, that moon landing, yeah, it didn't go quite as they expected. It did not end up on its feet. It definitely tipped over. The sideways moon landing cuts the mission short. The private U.S. lander will stop working this Tuesday, tomorrow. And I don't know how much data they've been able to get out of Odysseus. But again, it's the first U.S. spacecraft to land on the moon in more than 50 years and sadly tip over. But it came in too fast, and the foot of one of its six legs caught on the surface, causing it to tumble over. Based on photos from NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter overhead, it landed within a mile of its intended target near the Malapert A crater, just 185 miles from the moon's south pole. And so again, ended up on its side, $118 million crash and burn with just a little bit of science obtained. Hey, do want to thank our insiders today. I want to thank Kurt Corliss for his $2 sustaining donation. Mika Picala of his $2 sustaining donation. And a new one has come in. Bradley Dorner come in with a $25 one-time sustaining donation. We appreciate that, Bradley, for your one-time donations. Greatly appreciated. That came in via PayPal. We did, of course, have folks doing some streaming Satoshis via those new modern podcast apps from podcastapps.com. 100 sats a minute from Darren Schwartz, which is, he's also at the same time, a $25 a month sustaining member. We definitely appreciate that in the sats that he is contributing to the show while he's listening to it on one of those sleek new modern podcast apps, and Darren's using the Fountain app. We had a number of other folks do some live streaming sats as well, periodically. Some came through with no name attached to them. We do appreciate that. Make sure you configure your account so that we can see who you are when you stream sats. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Again, you can become an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider, becoming a helping us with time, talent, or treasure. Time and talent can be submission of articles, helping with social, promotion, whatever you want to do to help the show. And, of course, the treasure comes in your hard-earned dollars or Bitcoin, whatever it may be. We do appreciate your ongoing support, all of you. Thank you so much. And, again, Kirk, Mika, and Bradley, thank you for your donation. It's greatly appreciated and goes a long way to helping the show continue to do the mission that we have set out to do, is in informing you and getting you your latest tech news, breaking it down, giving you the insights that are possible when needed. And we thank you so much for your ongoing support by being an insider. Google explaining how Gemini's AI image generation went wrong, and they're going to work to fix it. You know, we're still early days on AI, and this image generation stuff, it's hard. It's very, very, very hard. And we've been working really hard on our AI model at Blueberry to produce images for podcasters. And it's a mixed bag. You've been seeing some of them in the show notes. Recently, those were all produced by Blueberry's API calls to the provider that we're working with on the AI side. And but Gemini's been really kind of doing some naughty things when it comes to images and diversity of images and appropriateness of images within topics being talked about. You would not expect to see essentially people of color that were Nazis. That's not a thing. And Gemini was producing images that were, you know, basically completely out of context and wrong. Those types of things, very hard from a contextual standpoint for them to get right. We'll see what they do and if they are able to fix this in short order. The world's most iconic police force has been hit by a cyber attack that took its website offline. The Canadian Mounties are back in the saddle after recovering. CBC says the RCMP sent a breach notification letter to its employees following the attack, explaining what happened, with a spokesperson for the law enforcement organization confirming the news to the media shortly after. But basically, they suffered a breach which temporarily knocked its website offline, but its operations as well as citizens should not be affected by the incident, it said. This is a pretty big breach. The quick work and mitigation strategies put in place basically got them back online very, very quickly. But more than two dozen servers, plenty of stolen data, and a number of encryptors were seized during an international effort against a group that they feel is from a group called Lockbit. So time will tell how this all plays out. But yeah, another cyber attack. Apple's HomePod, you know, you don't hear too much about the HomePod very much. But apparently they're going to have a version of it with a screen rumored for its 2025 release. But really, has Echo Show already won that smart home race? Although it's we're star far from official configuration, the latest from Bloomberg's Mark Gurman's latest Power On newsletter suggests Apple is at least continue work on innovative ways to combine its devices, including creating HomePod meets iPad hybrid. In the newsletter, he explains Apple has been testing a bunch of novel ways to bring its different offerings together. There was a device that would combine the Apple TV, FaceTime, and HomePod in one system, as well as HomePod with a screen that swivels like a robotic arm. Apple's also explored making iPad-like smart devices that could be magically attached to or magnetically attached to a wall. So we'll see, but it is a little bit too late. The Echo Show 10 is an incredibly smart version of a smart screen, even allowing some of the concept Apple's apparently played with, like a moving screen. So is this really moot point at this time? For Apple fanboys, I think they'll line up to buy almost anything. So we will see what this forthcoming iteration is going to be of the HomePod. But a HomePod with a screen, I don't know. Dell Technology has joined other PC vendors that bought a ticket on the AI hype train as it prepares to release a swath of new devices. During a briefing, Dell's VP for commercial PCs and software has said that while the immediate future would consist of two worlds, one with AI hardware and one without, every PC is going to be an AI PC in the long term. We know that Windows 11 is yet really to set the PC hardware market on fire, besides Microsoft's determination to cease support for Windows 10. But in terms of new hardware, Dell used the Mobile World Congress event in Barcelona to show off new versions of its surface-beating Latitude 7350 convertible, the world's most serviceable commercial detachable, according to the company, and its workstation-class Precision 3680 tower. So these are all going to be baked in with AI technology. We will see. Now, hopefully, Microsoft will soon deliver a version of Windows capable of demonstrating a use for AI hardware, but we will find out. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But again, Microsoft continued changes to the hardware requirements for Windows, again, likely did not shift the PC market in the short term, but Dell is aware that kit issued in 2020 to staff found themselves suddenly asked to work remotely will have to be replaced. So, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing, but we will see what Dell comes up with and what the future is. Samsung has unveiled the Galaxy Ring as a way to simplify everyday wellness. Now, we've seen these ring type of devices for a number of years now from a variety of companies at CES and other places. But again, they showed off the Galaxy Ring in its physical form at the MWC. They revealed some additional details. The device, of course, centered around health and wellness. Samsung didn't say much about the ring when it first displayed a render of the device at Unpacked last month. Journalists weren't even allowed to take a photo of it today, but some additional images from Samsung show it to be a chunky concave ring about the same size of the Aura, O-U-R-A, which is another ring that's out there. The extra girth isn't surprising given the electronics inside. The Verge noted it was lighter than expected and will be offered in sizes 5 to 13, mark S through XL inside the band. The size of the battery and thus the time between charges will depend on the size, ranging from 14.5 milliamp hours to 21.5. Battery life is unknown, but we know the Aura can go up to 7 days before between charges. They're going to offer a new tool called My Vitality Score that measures alertness so users can see if they're at their best. Feedback will be available via booster cards that offer science-based tips using sleep and other data gathered by the device. And the Galaxy Ring will be part of the Samsung Health ecosystem and be compatible with the Galaxy Watch. So we'll see more about this over time. Link will be up in the show notes for your review. The UK Home Secretary sounds alarm over deepfakes ahead of elections. Speaking to the Times, he cleverly emphasized the rapid advance of AI and its potential to undermine elections, not just in the UK, but globally. He warned that malign actors working on behalf of nations like Russia and Iran could generate thousands of highly realistic deepfake images and videos to disrupt the democratic process. The Home Secretary plans to urge collective actions from Silicon Valley giants like Google, Meta, Apple, and YouTube when he meets with them this week. His aim is to implement rules, transparency, and safeguards. His warnings come after a series of deepfake audios imitating Labour leader Keir Starmer and London Mayor Sadiq Khan circulated online last year. Fake BBC News videos reporting examined Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's finances have also surfaced. So we'll see. This is just going to be something that is going to be ongoing. Again, you're going to have to do your own homework. You're not going to be able to trust most things that you watch online unless it's from a person that you trust. You know, the whole creative market is really going to be affected deeply in this ongoing AI rush. Tyler Perry is halting an $800 million studio expansion amid AI concerns. In a statement addressing the decision, he expressed apprehension about the potential consequences on AI on job security within the industry. He warned that AI tech could potentially render traditional methods of film production obsolete, leading to widespread job loss across various sectors of the entertainment field. From actors to technician, Perry emphasized the need for collaborative efforts among stakeholders to mitigate the impact of AI and ensure the survival of the economy. He was really concerned over the rapid advancements in artificial intelligence, particularly OpenAI's text-to-video tool known as Sora. And to halt an investment because of the future being uncertain should raise alarms for many people in many industries. Things are going to change dramatically. TCL is a brand that you're most known for televisions, but TCL has a whole line of phones as well. The TCL 50 series phones will debut in North America starting quarter 2, 2024. It previewed its next-gen smartphones at CES and shared more details at MWC. So link will be up in the show notes on this. A fine, very fine line of phones at a reasonable price. Definitely check that out. Also, according to Digital Trends, your next phone could get a huge 5G upgrade thanks to AI. Now, every time someone says they're going to put AI in everything, I'm always just a little bit skeptical. And Qualcomm has supposedly dabbled with some AI features, but by adding a dedicated AI tensor accelerator to the chip for the first time, the Snapdragon X80 is Qualcomm's first attempt to truly harness the power of AI to, as they call it, dynamically tune how a 5G modem works. This year's AI tensor accelerator powers the Qualcomm 5G AI suit Gen 3, which the company says intelligently enhances data speeds, quality of service, latency, coverage, and power efficiency. In other words, all the things that make 5G chip deliver top-notch performance. And it's also going to use AI to do network selection and those types of things, network and tower selections. Why were they not doing that before? Strongest signals to the right, connect to that one. Weakest signals to the left, don't connect to that one. You know, not exactly how it works, but that type of programming could already be in there. So I don't know why they need AI to make these types of decisions. But I guess it's a buzzword of the day. Also, it's being rumored the iPhone 16 Pro could have a weird camera reminiscent of an electric razor. This is according to leaker Majin Buu, who's posting on X, has claimed that the iPhone 16 Pro will have a triangular camera block. Or rather, it will attain a squarish block on the iPhone 15 Pro, but the lens within it will be housed in a single raised triangle rather than jutting out of the square individually. And they've got a post in Twitter that, you know, kind of purports the mock-up. I think we take this one with a grain of salt. This is definitely in prototype stage, so time will tell where this is going to go, but we will see. So there's a new free Comcast with Google TV update. So in other words, if you update your Google TV, you're going to get Chromecast updates built in. So how to get Chromecast with Google TV? The update should roll out to your hardware automatically, but if the new features aren't appearing, you can do a manual update by going to Settings, System About, Systems Update. The update is about 170 megs, so it should be pretty speedy. The benefits of fast pair preview is obvious. In other words, you can use different headphones when listening to your TV. Now, when you're basically because of the Chromecast support, this new audio switcher built in is going to become very useful. So we'll see where this leads for those of you that have Google TVs, which many, many of us do. Google DeepMind taps the power of its AI to accelerate quantum computers. And this is where I think efficiencies are going to be found. DeepMind worked with UK-based Quantium to solve a key challenge in fault-tolerant quantum computers by reducing the number of T-gates. Now, T-gates are really essential in implementing a quantum circuit, not a quantum circuit. A network of gates that manipulates qubits to generate logarithms. However, T-gates are also the most expensive and most resource-intensive gates of the network. So they basically used an AI model to optimize T-counts, number of T-gates, I guess, that they need, and tensor decomposition using deep reinforcement learning. So this is where I think AI is ultimately going to help us, where these are going to help us refine things, make things more efficient, make them more better, make them more secure. All this type of activity, I think, is going to be welcome to the tech community and devs in general. Now, there's an airline out there that's going to offer the Vision Pro for in-flight entertainment. Beyond, B-E-O-N-D, is a Maldivian airline that caters to luxury travel market. They're going to invite travelers looking for an extravagant trip, then offering the ultra premium 3500 Vision Pro as in-flight entertainment. So according to their CEO, Vision Pro will be offering movies and games and showcasing stunning resort destination activities in the Maldives. If done well, a video presentation with interactivity that shows resort amenities and fun local experiences could be helpful and entertaining to travelers. So, according to, let's see, when are they going to have these on? The first flight will travel from Milan to Dubai and Bangkok to the Maldives in mid-2024. And the passengers on this particular airline all have lay down seats. So that tells you it's not just a normal airline. Windows reportedly are looking at doing hot patching. And hot patching is something that Macs have done for years. Windows are not so much known for it. It seems like every time you need to do an update, you have to reboot your PC. But, and I know that annoys many Windows 11 users, having to restart. In the Windows 11 Insider Preview for Windows Insider Canary Dev Testers, Microsoft is trialing hot patching or the installation of Windows 11's updates while the system is running and without restarting the computer. Microsoft has plenty of experience with hot patching as a Redmond-based company already uses for Windows servers and Xbox, but has not been done so much for just normal Windows 11 installs. But of course, reboots will be required And they're going to try to limit the number of reboots that are needed to lower our annoyance factor to those updates. More ransomware attacks. Loan Depot attack exposed 16.9 million individuals. Lending firm has confirmed this. The incident was initially disclosed on January 4th. Now they've got into deeper data. At the same time, U-Haul, of all companies, admits thousands of customers have had their data stolen in a breach. No payment data, but the company confirmed the news, and they've sent emails to victims. What was included in this? The data that was stolen includes people's full names, date of birth, driver's license numbers. Well, that's enough. Again, it's just ongoing. We might as well just post all this stuff publicly for the world to see. Boy, the rumors continue on Apple's first foldable. People are saying now it will not be an iPhone. Supply folks say that this is not going to happen. It will not be an iPhone, but it might be some other type of device. Will it be a folding iPad? Will it be a folding MacBook? What will it be? We don't know. But again, something in 2025, potentially. Apple's been working on this a long time, trying to make sure that reliability is going to not be an issue. I just, you know, I've seen some foldable phones before, and I'm just always skeptical how long the phones and how many times the phones can be folded before they go kaput. PayPal's patent a new system to detect the theft of super cookies. So super cookies can contain authentication tokens used by two-factor authentication, and when stolen, provide unbridled access to victim accounts. In the gritty details of the patent, PayPal details its method for detecting when super cookies are stolen by hackers. The patented method can identify and modify the values of super cookies using sequential encryption, and then compares the super cookies across multiple storage locations depending on how likely they are to be used in fraudulent activity. Each device can have several storage locations, with each cookie value being generated based on the value of the location before it. So anyway, this new patent is likely to help PayPal in its ongoing fraud prevention. If you use Microsoft Edge, an update's finally going to let you hide its annoying sidebar. This update, again, lets you hide that. I know that's annoying to many of you. Again, to be able to hide the sidebar in Microsoft Edge, you have to make sure that Microsoft Edge is updated to version 122. According to Windows Latest, you can go to the cog icon at the bottom of the sidebar. For many of you, it may be on the right-hand side, though it might be positioned differently if you've tweaked your sidebar UI, and turn off the Show Sidebar Button setting. This will then remove the sidebar button, which will be switched on, which is switched on by default. So I don't use Edge at all, so I don't know what this annoyance is, but I hope that helps many of you that are. Fiat is turning its Panda City cars into a whole family of multi-energy vehicles. Stellantis-owned Fiat has revealed 5 new concepts. The lineup, inspired by Italian automaker, will kick off in July of 2024, with a new city car followed by new vehicles each year for the following 3 years. In addition to the concepts preview, a pickup truck, a fastback sedan, an SUV, and a camper, of all things, which is interesting. Fiat is hedging its bets, committing to producing not only electric versions of each vehicle, but also hybrid and internal combustion versions. And they've got a concept video and concept images in the article that I'm linking to. Cars are sure going to change a lot here in the forthcoming years if these concept vehicles actually come to fruition. Google, of course, has brought Gemini to messages and adds AI text to summaries for Android Auto. This slew of Android updates kicked off MWC, and as of this week, messages users will be able to access Google Chatbot without leaving the text app. Gemini messages can handle the basic tasks like drafting messages and helping to plan events, or you can just chat with it if you're bored. The feature is in beta, and it's only available to English language messages users for now. Android also is getting a boost from AI that could help minimize distraction of people texting while you're on the road. If the group chat is blowing up your phone with nonstop messages, or someone is sending you a bunch of text, or maybe a girlfriend wanting to know where you're at or something to that effect, Android Auto will automatically summarize the message and read it to you in a more succinct version. It'll also suggest replies and actions based on the message, like sharing your ETA so you can respond with a single tap and focus on driving. So that's the thing. I get annoyed when I'm driving and I'm getting messages, ding, 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 ding. How come you're not responding to me? Ding, 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 ding. I'm like, I'm driving. Leave me alone. Fox News hackers turns out to be a journalist whose lawyer says he was just doing his job. A Florida journalist has been arrested and charged with breaking into protecting computer systems. Tim Burke was arrested on Thursday and charged with one count of conspiracy, 6 counts of accessing protected computers without authorization, 7 counts of intercepting, disclosing wire, oral, or electronic communication for his supposed role in the theft of the unedited video streams from Fox News. Burke's lawyers countered the charges, asserting he engaged in no hacking and committed no crimes. He merely followed a link to the feeds without ever being asked to input any credentials. While we, like anyone else, condemn computer hacking, we emphatically insist that the facts of this case will demonstrate there was in fact no hacking whatsoever, his lawyers told the Tampa Bay Times. They further argued that publishing his finding is protected by the First Amendment, since Burke was acting as a journalist. The EFF agrees, saying in a statement yesterday that it wants the U.S. Department of Justice to explain what Burke did was an actual violation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, as the indictment alleges. The law remains vague, too often allowing prosecutors and private parties to claim that individuals knew or should have known that what they were doing was unauthorized, even when no technical barrier prevented them from accessing a server or website. What Burke did may be permissible under the Justice Department's decision not to prosecute good faith violations of the CFAA, too, though, as we noted in previous coverage, if access was anyway unauthorized, a good faith exception wouldn't apply. So basically, this guy just followed a link and got access to unedited videos. So whose fault is that? That's a stretch. You follow a link, you grab some video. I don't know. Doesn't sound to me like that's hacking. If you're breaking into a system, yep, but otherwise, following a link that has no authentication, I don't think so. Wear OS is revamping notifications to improve battery life. Google announced a handful of new Wear OS updates at MWC. At the heart of it is a way of handling notifications that purportedly improve performance and battery life. Since 2018, Wear OS watches generally have had an application processor to handle power-intensive tasks and an ultra-low-power coprocessor for always-on tasks like step counting and heart rate. This update will let wearable makers offload notification process to the MCU. That includes ability to read and dismiss notifications as well as send quick replies. So again, all about power management, getting more time out of the watch. Elon Musk has texted to Microsoft CEO about Windows 11 demands for a Microsoft account. Are you as well getting a bit tired of Microsoft demands to have an account for everything you do? In this incident, Musk was attempting to get going with a new laptop and was displeased to find that Windows 11 was asking for Microsoft account in order to continue. Musk said, "I just bought a new PC laptop, and it won't let me use it unless I create a Microsoft account, which also means giving their AI access to my computer. This is messed up." Musk has a point here, although some of folks pointed out there is a way around this, but it's not obvious. It's tricky to set up something for personal use without having a Microsoft account. You have to enter some obscure code. You got to go to Windows 11, you can go use Shift plus F10 to drop to command line at the network connection page and enter OOBE/bypass NRO to force a reboot and make the I don't have an internet option appear. Basically, anytime you're connected to the internet, Windows 11 wants to authenticate you and have you enter your account details. I like the idea of being able to use a PC without any account authentication, just like you can with a Mac. You do not have to enter your Apple ID when setting up a Mac. It's advisable to help migrate stuff, but if you want to set up raw, you don't have to. It's a bird, a plane, or Chinese spy balloon. Well, none of the above. Officials at the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, observe a balloon reported floating in altitude between 43,000 and 45,000 feet last week, and on Friday scrambled a jet to intercept it to get a closer look. The jet determined there was no threat to U.S. national security, finding it was just a hobbyist balloon. The balloon, which was floating higher than typical cruising altitude of commercial airlines, was reportedly not maneuverable, posed no threat to flight safety, and was carrying a roughly 2-foot cube as a payload. Those wondering, yes, it does cost a lot to launch a fighter than it does a balloon. So balloon fever is still going on. And, you know, we shot some balloons down last year, rightfully so, although a little bit late. And, but again, good that NORAD is at least looking at these things. OpenAI's Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Jeff Bezos are all part of a pack of investors in a business developing human-like robots. A startup named Figure. Engineers are working on a robot that looks and moves like a human. The company said it hopes its machine, called Figure 01, will be able to perform dangerous jobs that are unsuitable for people, and this technology will help alleviate labor shortages. And they've raised about $700 million. And so again, all part of a scramble to find uses for artificial intelligence. Do you have AT&T? Well, their Thursday outage might get you a credit enough for a cup of coffee. The $5 credit AT&T is offering customers affected by last week's major outage highlights the compensation when a provider suffers downtime is unlikely to get even close to the inconvenience or cost to business. For many, that exceptional customer experience equated to an outage of a cellular service that affected thousands, AT&T had to urge its customers to try Wi-Fi calling, while some U.S. services such as San Francisco Fire Department told AT&T customers to switch to landline if they could not get through on the 911 emergency line. Yep, $5 is a credit. Unsurprisingly, customers have not reacted well to AT&T attempts to make it right. Buyer reckoning would barely cover the cost of a coffee from a well-known U.S. caffeinated beverage maker, let alone a pint of beer from the local pub near Vulture Central. One customer said a single $5 credit per account with multiple phones is an insult. You failed here. Other responses were dripping with sarcasm. A whole $5? Wow. Thank you so much for your generosity and understanding. So, AT&T has come out and said that their hack was not caused by a cyber attack, but again, human error. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to bring me to the end of today's show. I want to thank you so much for being here. If you have comments on today's commentary, geeknews@gmail.com. If I brought you value, please consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. By becoming a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month monthly contributor, or just like our great new insider did today, Bradley Dorner did a one-time donation. We definitely appreciate those as well. Just as valuable. Thank you so much again, Bradley, for your one-time donation today as an insider. Again, we want to thank all of you for being here. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy, if you're in the market for an internet-related product or service. It's my pleasure. I'll be back with you 1 week from today, live from the studio in the New Media Production Studios in Michigan, back for our extended trip. And I want to thank everyone for being here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.